Last week was Mother's Day, and so we celebrated our mothers, because if it weren't for our mothers, we wouldn't be here, none of us. Amen. I love how God ties us all into one another. You don't exist but for someone else. God made life. Listen, God made us in his image so that we could enjoy one another. Him first, but also enjoy one another. Because God is three persons but one essence. And they have perfect love for one another. They have perfect relationship for one another. Oh, Lord Jesus, I can't wait. Oh, God, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to be in that love, because Jesus said that we're going to be in his throne that he shares with his Father. You and I are going to be seated with him in his throne. We are going to be wrapped up in perfect love. You know, when Peter says perfect love casts out fear, Paul said perfect love casts out fear, that perfect love is the love of the Father. And it's the love the Father shares with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be in that love. And so God created us so that we might experience relationship just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit creates or experiences perfect love, oneness, relationship, right? So a week before Mother's Day, we were looking at what it means to do good. Because Ephesians chapter 4 is where we were. In verse 28, it reads, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Working with his hands what is good. That he may have something to give to him who has need. Why? Because as a Christian, we ought to be full of good works, because as sinners, we were not full of good works. Come on, we were up to no good. I don't know about you, but I certainly was. And so we move further into verse 29, where it says this, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I thought it interesting when COVID came that everyone was wearing these, you know. What was it covering? The mouth. What was that saying that said God gave us two ears and one mouth? Why? To listen twice as much as we speak. So that's what I heard. So the title of the message today is Speaking What is Good. Speaking What is Good. So we've established weeks ago, a couple months ago, that God is good. Everything he says, everything he does is good. Psalm 116, verse 68 says, you are good and you do good. That's God. You are good and you do good. And so it stands to reason that his people not only do good works, but speak what is good. And I have to be honest. We're living in a day where it's hard to tell a believer from an unbeliever, because of how believers speak, the words we use, the vitriol, the anger, the hate. I mean, it's astounding to me that it's come to this. One of the things that makes us like God is taken for granted by us, and that is the ability to speak. It's free, as it were. We like to think it doesn't cost us to say anything, but what was it? Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So there is a price. There is a cost. It's going to cost you something once we open up our mouths. Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word, no corrupt word. What does that word corrupt mean? It means rotten. It means worthless. It means unfit for use, bad, literally or morally. That's what it means, worthless, unfit for use. Let me give you some examples. Sad to say, but it's so true, and it stops me. It just shakes me to my core to think, to see these things happening when you consider that God made us in his image, and Genesis 1 and 3, and Bill talked about it. God said, well, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then verse 2, and then you have verse 3, and it says, and God said. What makes us different from the animals? We can speak. We can communicate. And it's through that relationship and that speech, that communication is there so that we can sustain relationship with one another, right? So Paul says, don't let any worthless thing come out of your mouth. Listen, there are videos. I saw a pastor, a worship team was doing a song, and they were singing the song, and they weren't doing it the best that it could be done. Not according to me, according to the pastor. And I mean, you can go watch these videos on YouTube, but I'm thinking, this is a man of God. This is a pastor who's going to teach now this word. And he gets up and he tells the worship, he stops the worship team in the middle of worship and says, you're not singing it right. You haven't practiced it right. You're doing a horrible job. Now, if you can't do it right, then just sit down. Now, let me ask you, what type of effect do you think that had not only on the worship team, but the whole church? There you go. Your whole worship team just probably walked out the door. But that's what the pastor did. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, wait a second. Paul said, let no rotten, worthless word come out of your mouth. Unfit for use. Was that useful to anyone on the worship team? No. Not only what he said, but the way he communicated it. Another pastor, and I'm picking on pastors because I'm a pastor. And I can pick on Christians because I'm a Christian. Got a problem? Talk to me later. But Paul said to the Christians, he wasn't talking about the world. He said to the Christians, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. And so one pastor, he was preaching the word of God. And a man fell asleep about the third, fourth row back. And he stopped the sermon and said, hey, you wake up in this church. You don't sleep while I'm preaching. What's wrong with you? Wake up. He says, and by the way, why'd you marry this man? This is on YouTube. You can watch it. He said, why'd you marry this man? He ain't worth 15 cents. If you'd asked me, I'd have told you not to marry. This pastor goes off. And I'm sitting there watching this and I'm saying, wait a second. How can you do that? How can you say that? But it happens. And yet Paul says, let no rotten word come out of your mouth. Well, I would have to think that what he said to that couple, it began to rot. It did not minister to them. It did not edify them. It didn't lift them up. Come on, for real. A pastor, again, on YouTube, says, you know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:1 that you're to pray for those who are in authority. He said, but don't pray for President Biden because he's not president of the United States. And I said to myself, and this guy's on television. And I was like, wait, hold, wait a second. I prayed for Clinton. I prayed for Bush. Come on, pray for Obama. Pray for Trump. And I'm praying for Biden. Do you hear me? Then how can a pastor say, don't listen? What he is telling you is this. Don't listen to God. Listen to me. Don't listen to the apostle whom God inspired to write the word. Listen to me. Why? Because he wants to be in control. But you see, you have to remember, you're not in control. I'm going to preach that sermon. I tell you, I'm going to preach it because it's already, I feel it. Well, it's on the inside. We got to know something, church. Come on. We're not in control of this thing. Another Christian, a former member of Congress, I heard the other day say, Biden is a fake president. He's a fake president. This whole thing is a sham. Don't worry about it. God's going to, I'm looking at, this woman is a Christian. And I'm listening to Christians, and I'm listening at us, and I'm saying, Father, what on earth is happening? We don't hold the word of God in high esteem. We have come to the place where we want what we want. God's not the center any longer. We are. And when I don't get what I want, I'm going to let you know about it. Beloved, that's we're in a sad day. We're in a sad day. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Reminded me when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has come. He has desired you to sift you like wheat. And Peter's like, no, Lord, I'll die with you. But when the time came, what happened? You were with him. And he began to curse and to swear. And Peter said this, I do not know the man. It wasn't what he did. It was what he said. It was what he said. No corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good. That word good means helpful and useful for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let me just get to the quick. I could say this and then wrap up my whole sermon, but I'm not. And you said, glory, preach it. I know you want it. I'm going to keep going. Amen. But how do we then go and speak good words? How do we then speak what is good? Well, if what is corrupt grieves him, then just simply don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And anyone who is Christ has the Holy Spirit. If you are Christ, you belong to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, which means you will know when you grieve the Holy Spirit. You will know. You say, oh, no, I don't think I know. Oh, yes, you do. Why? Because Jesus said, the sheep know my voice. You say, but all of us sheep different. Exactly. But they all know the shepherd's voice. He knows how to speak to you so you can hear it. Listen, when God's ready for you to hear him, guess what? You will not be able to mistake it. You will know it's him. Period. Words matter. Words matter. What we say matters. How so, you might ask? Remember Jesus in his temptation in Matthew chapter 4. When Satan came against him, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. And so because we're made in the image of God, we create all sorts of things when we speak. God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there were lights. God said, let the earth bring forth abundantly, the tree yielding seed after its kind, and so forth and so on. And it goes on and on. God said these things, and these things began to happen. Well, we're made in the image of God. So as God created things when he spoke, guess what? We create things when we speak. Oh, yeah, we do. All the time. But because we take speech for granted, we feel like we can just go say whatever it is we want to say. Beloved, it should not be the case. As James said, as we'll see later, these things ought not to be so. We can grieve the Holy Spirit with a word. We can grieve him with a word. Have you ever felt it when you've grieved the Holy Spirit? Man, I felt it before. I felt it talking to my wife. I felt it talking to my mother. I felt it talking to my brother, my sister in Christ. But you feel this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives within us. He's present to convict the world of righteousness, sin, and coming judgment, John tells us. Have you ever said something that surprised you? You ever heard something come out of your mouth? You went, oh! You're like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Well, Jesus taught us that what comes out of the mouth is tied to the. Thank you. I was waiting for someone to say it. The heart. This is an interactive message. Amen. What comes out the mouth is tied to the heart. Heart. So when Paul says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, there's a deeper issue that he's pointing to. Right? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So in other words, the mouth is simply an indicator of what's in the heart. It's only an indicator. So what does that mean? We need to regulate what's going on in our heart. That's why if you ever hear something come out of your mouth that surprises you, you need to know it's deeper down. I need to deal with something that's going on in my heart. We see this in Acts chapter 5. In verse 2, remember Ananias and Sapphira, the saints were enjoying a time of giving lavishly to one another to meet one another's needs. And Barnabas sold a piece of land, gave the money to the apostles, and they distributed it to those who had need. Well, here come Ananias and Sapphira. And they figure, well, we're going to sell our land. We're going to sell a piece of property, keep back part of the money for ourselves, but tell them that this is what we sold the land for. So we look real big in the eyes of the apostles or perhaps others as well. Verse 3 says, but Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I read that a few years ago, and it really shook me. I mean, I was like, what? Wait a second. Now, we're to assume that Ananias and Sapphira were Christians, were believers. But listen at what Peter says. Why has Satan filled your heart? In other words, our heart has capacity. He talked about it being full. It could be half full. It could be quarter way. But it has capacity to hold. And Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Notice, their sin was in lying, not in keeping back part of the price. They were free to keep back part of the price. It was theirs. They could do anything they want to it. It was when they lied. It was when they lied about it. They sinned with their lips, you see. And so but Peter points to you lied because it was in your heart. He tied the mouth with the heart. And so listen, boy, when people talk, I'm all ears. I'm all ears. More so when I talk, I'm all ears. Because I'm like, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because it's a privilege to be able to communicate. It's an honor to stand here and to speak the word of God to you today. But James said, let not all of us be teachers because we shall bear a greater condemnation. James 3:1. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a greater condemnation for those who teach the word of God, lest they do it in an incorrect manner and cause God's sheep to go astray. Why? Because simply because of the words of their mouth. So Peter said, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And so our hearts have the capacity to be filled with things contrary to the will of God. And when our hearts are, that's when sometimes things will pop out that we didn't mean to. You say, well, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Oh, wait a second. Ever been joking with someone? We call it truth in jest. Ever been joking with someone and told them the truth, but you laughed it off? Just joking. Now, that's a lie. That's a lie right there. No, you're not joking. You tell them the truth, but you don't want to say it. You just, you know, you're going to try and laugh it off. God knows the heart. He sees the heart, right? And so Jesus talked about the fact that the mouth is tied to the heart. Last year, there was a pastor on YouTube before the election. There was this pastor on YouTube, and I say this because I actually had someone call me and say, have you heard this pastor on YouTube? I was like, yeah. He said, well, what do you think? I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what I know. Brother missing it, okay. Yeah, brother missing it. Because what he was saying was he would have these dreams. And he had copious dreams. Now, let me say something. I don't boast about it, but God speaks to me in dreams. When you have a dream and the dream comes to pass verbatim, everything that happened in the dream happened, that's a dream from God because no one knows the future. Hello? No one knows the future. So I've had dreams. I had dreams about Moses. I had a dream about Moses, and the dream came true. Moses said, Pastor, it happened just the way you said it. You know, I've been dreaming since I was 15, 16 years old. I had dreams about all kinds of things, and they come true. Hello. So I know what it is to have a divine visitation through a dream. So this pastor says, God gave me a dream, and I saw Chinese and Russian soldiers taking over cities in America. And this is all going to happen by December of 2020. He said, we need to be in prayer. You need to stock up on food and water, guns and ammunition. He was telling Christians now. So a Christian called me, worked up. Hey, have you seen it? I said, yeah, I seen it. He said, well, what do you think? I said, no, don't worry about it. You don't need no food. You don't need no water. You don't need no guns and ammunition. I said, I've been through this before. Yeah. When I first got saved, I got saved in 83. 1988, we were at a conference. 1988, we were at a conference in Oakton. And two former witches, were holding a conference. And they're in this conference saying, the Lord has shown us that in 18 months, we're going to be in a state of martial law, police state. So you need to get ready. Okay. So they're saying all of this. My friend is sitting over here. I got one guy sitting here next to me, got saved. Then his friend is standing back here. So while his friend's sitting back there, after the service, he said, Pat, a demon sat on my shoulder the whole time I was sitting. He said, there was a literal devil sitting on my shoulder. I'm like, okay, right. And so on the way out the door from this conference, just to let you know how the environment, how it was in this conference, on the way out, I meet my 10th grade biology partner. Nancy was her name. And she's Catholic, but she loves the Lord. This girl got saved. She says, Pat, what are we going to do? Did you hear what these women said? They said that we're going to, I looked at Nancy. I said, Nancy, calm down. I said, none of what they said is going to happen. She looked at me kind of bewildered. She's like, well, how do you know it's not going to happen? I said, because Nancy, I have the Holy Ghost in me. And John 1 says that you have no need that any man teach you, but the unction, the anointing that you have from God teaches you, and the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. John said, try the spirits to see whether they're from God. 1 John 4:1, read it yourself. Try the spirits. And I told Nancy, I said, Nancy, this is not bearing witness with my spirit. I said, no, this is going against my, listen, Colossians says, let peace be the umpire of your heart. You ever heard Christians say, I don't have peace about that? You ever heard people say that? Well, that's the scripture they're referring to in Colossians chapter 4:3. Let peace be the umpire of your heart. And I said, Nancy, none of what this guy said, these women are saying is true. So I said, just be at rest, be at peace. Go, be blessed. Guess what happened 18 months? Absolutely nothing. So when this person was calling me about this pastor last year, saying, I said, no, I've been through this before. This nothing's going to happen. I get no witness in my spirit. Nothing in my spirit. You say, well, how come you trust what's in your spirit, not what's in anybody else's spirit? Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? On September 10th, 2001, I was at a conference in Virginia Beach. At 8 a.m. on the 10th, I was sitting in the back of the church, had just registered for the conference, minding my business, and a spirit of intercession hit me. I fell off the bench onto the floor, crying, wailing, not audibly, but just crying and praying and praying and interceding, and I knew something was up. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's about to happen. But my God, I was praying and praying and praying and praying. And then we had the first day of the conference, and September 11th, about 8 o'clock in the morning, you remember what happened. If you're old enough, you remember where you were. Because the planes flew into the towers. And the Spirit of God had people praying before the planes hit the towers. Hello. The Spirit was the one who got me into intercession and prayer. And I've been in intercession and prayer over different things all throughout my life. Why? Because the Spirit of God, he knows all these things. And it's not that it's, and no, ain't nobody deep when you say, oh, that happened to you, you deep, you spiritual. No, he's deep and he's spiritual. Hallelujah. We just flesh. Hello. We just flesh. But God speaks to his people. Right? So, how did I get on that? Oh, I was talking about this pastor. He thought he was hearing from God. Come to find out, when I did some research on this guy, he was an actual pastor of a church. He said, I read 40 newspapers a day. I said, well, if you're reading 40 newspapers a day, when are you reading your Bible? Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're reading 40 newspapers a day, how are you, when are you reading your Bible? And when you have dreams, where are those dreams coming from? From the 40 newspapers? Or from the Bible? So, you know, I'm looking at this guy and I'm watching the video on YouTube. He's on there and he's telling people and he was full of fear. And he's filling God's people with fear. His heart was filled with fear and apprehension. He was telling God's people that God was speaking to him, yet what he was saying was corrupt and worthless. You hear me? It was corrupt and worthless. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with having some canned foods laying around the house. Not laying around, actually, you know, stored. Some water. Nothing wrong with having some water, light, power go out. Okay, you can feed yourself. Great. But to do it in fear and not in trust, not trusting God, I got to go get some food because, well, you know, I really got to do this because, Lord, I really don't know if you're going to take care of me. So let me take care of me. Oh, you're in trouble then. Oh, you're in trouble then. And not so much about what you're doing, but in the spirit that was motivating you to do it. So his heart was affecting what was coming out of his mouth. Heart and mouth are tied together in Scripture. Listen at Psalm 19. One thing I love about the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church, Steve and I were talking about this before service. The Baptist Church, they do certain things, probably all churches do. They do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you're going to know it. Why? Not because they're great preachers, not they are, some of them are, but I'm saying, but because of the repetition, you're going to know it. So Melody can finish this with me. We say something, we say every week in the Baptist church, I got an uncle down in Falls Church. He's 90 years old and he's still preaching. And in the church, every week they quote this verse, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So you see, when Jesus talked about that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, all throughout Scripture, the mouth is tied to the heart. So when Paul said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, guess where that corrupt word came from? The heart, right? So David prayed, and this is a prayer that I find no problem praying today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. So let me mention a few of the scriptures in regard to this. Proverbs 20 and verse, 10, excuse me, 10 verse 20 says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. So we see heart and tongue and heart, mouth and heart. Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 17:20, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. So the two go together, deceitful heart and a perverse tongue. Psalm 49, verse 3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Mouth and heart. So wisdom and understanding are good and thus should fill our mouths when it's our turn to speak. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Now, all of us have been here. I've mentioned this before, but all of us have been here and will be here again. You'll be talking to someone, and the conversation is going along, and then you're about to say something, and the Holy Spirit will say, don't say that. You felt it. If you have it, hang on. You will. And you'll be going along, and the Holy, and then when the Holy Spirit gives you that little nudge, little, and then you have a choice to make. See, God has always given us choices, like he gave Adam and Eve. Here's the tree. Don't touch it. The day that you do, because it's up to you, but the day that you do, we know the story. So it's the same thing when the Holy Spirit is trying to give us words, or put it this way, restrain us from saying something that we have no business saying. How many people have lost their careers? I mean, it happens every year. You just, on a weekly basis, someone said something that they had absolutely no business saying. And you look at it and say, what on earth is wrong with you? Why would you say something like that? Well, the reason why they said it is because it's in their heart. And what's in the heart, make no mistake, it's coming out through the mouth. It's coming out. People say, oh, that was a mistake. No, it wasn't. You sure that was a mistake? So the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So if we're listening, we will hear the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, instructing our hearts as to how we should answer many different situations. The question is, will we obey him? Do we obey him? Let's see. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth, therefore let your words be few. Amen. Have you ever heard? I've heard people tell me that they argue with God. Well, they say, well, Jacob wrestled with God. Yeah, but yeah. The Bible even says that he wrestled and prevailed. Yeah, well, that's because God let him, you know. But I've heard people shake their fists at God. I've heard Christians tell me, I shook my fist at God. And when they told me that, I stepped back. I was like, you did what? Yay, look, yeah. No, bro. God is in heaven and you are on earth. Where does lightning come from? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, I know, I stepped back. I said, no, bro, I do not shake my fist at God. No. Do not be rash with your mouth. When I read this, I immediately thought about, Luke 18, where the Pharisee was praying thus with himself. Jesus said, I thank thee that I am not like other men. I tithe, I give to the poor, and I'm not like this publican, this sinner over here. He was praying with himself before God. And the publican prayed simply this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that the publican went to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. Hello. He wasn't being rash with his mouth. He was just simply uttering what was in his heart. Just like the repentant thief on the cross who simply said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. And Jesus said, today, thou wilt be with me in paradise. Today. Very simple. Wasn't being rash with his words. Last one, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made. So we see heart and mouth tied together. With the heart one believes, and then confession is made with the mouth. So what goes on in the heart is confirmed by the confession of the mouth. So we really need, you know, as Paul says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. If there's corruption in the heart, guess what is coming out of the mouth? So we need to go before the Lord and just, Lord, you know, God will cleanse my heart, wash my heart. I need to have my heart right concerning XYZ, whatever the case may be. James put it this way in James chapter 3, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. So man's pretty good. He can tame, you see him, dolphins, elephants, birds, doesn't matter what it is. They tame every kind of thing. People got every type of pet you can imagine. One guy has a pet alligator. He puts his head in the alligator's mouth. And, you know, you're looking at this going, yeah, that's for you. Mm-hmm. And we tame every kind of thing on the planet. But no man can tame the tongue. Ooh, think about that. No man can tame the tongue. Now, what's implied, what we can also say in there, no man but God can, because what man can't do, God can. But no man can tame the tongue. For it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Listen to this. With it, we bless our God and Father. We'll be up here. Oh, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. And then, like I told you the story years ago, the deacon who was carrying a table out the back door of the church. This was Bill Hybels' church at the height of Willow Creek, when Willow Creek was a great big church, 30-some thousand people. He got up one Sunday and he said, I just love our church. You're such good people. You love the Lord and all. The deacon is carrying the table out the back door. And a teenager, you know how teenagers be smart. You know, they're having fun. And the deacon pushes the door to open up the door. The teenager had his foot on the other side of the door, so the door wouldn't open. So here's this deacon on the other side. He's pushing. He's like, what's wrong with this door? And the teenager's on the other side laughing. I got a foot on the door. So the man's mad now. He's tired and he's mad. And finally the teenager lets go of the door and the door flies open. And the deacon grabs the boy and beats the snot out of him. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this born again man. This man, oh, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Well, I want to love you, Jesus, now. Okay. I'm going to beat your behind. That's what I'm going to do. And he beat him up. And Bill Hybels said, that's the last time I get up in front of the church talk about how good y'all are. He said, so with this tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men. We curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. And now, before I ever preach this to you, guess what? I had to look at this, and the word's coming back to me. That's what happens when you read the word, right? I'm not thinking about preaching it to you. I'm thinking, this word is cleansing me. That's why when we read the word, when we hear the word preach, the word goes in and begins to do inventory and begins to work on your life. That's what the word of God does. It cleanses us, right? And so he says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So when we look at our life, we have to ask the question, is that the case? Where is it in my life regard to my wife, my children, the church, my neighbors, coworkers, you know, people I serve at work? Is that the case where I'm saying one thing one time, but then the opposite the next? If that's so, God have mercy on me and cleanse me. I need to repent and turn from those ways. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And so, when was this? Last year, after the election. I couldn't believe this. So this whole thing was happened in our election. For me, it's not about the president and all that. That's not. For me, it's always been about the church. It's been about God's people, those who name the name of Christ, those who name the name. What effect is all of this having on us? Because if it changes you, well, that's going to indicate that we're not holding fast to the one who's unchangeable, right? The immutable one. And so this one pastor in Louisville, when the election didn't go the way he thought it should go, he got up in his church and all the people were standing up front with their hands raised. And this man said, Lord, I call a curse down on the people who stole this election. He said, I curse them with weakness. I curse them with poverty. I curse them with the worst year they have ever had. This was a pastor. Do you hear me? And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wait a second, Lord Jesus. What is going on? And the people are going, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. They have their hands raised. And I'm like, wait. Where is the believer who would stand up and pastor? Where's the elder who would come up and say, pastor, no. Where in the New Testament does God curse us? Need to know your Bible. Galatians chapter 3 and 13, the Bible says this, that Christ became a curse for us. For curse it is, he may hang on tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13, having become a curse for us, for cursed is any man who hangs on a tree. God does not curse us. Hello, this pastor was calling curses down on saved or unsaved people. It was either one of the two or both. You know, he was calling down curses. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay. So obviously he's doing this not because Jesus told him to, but he's doing it because apparently he didn't think it didn't end the way he thought it would end. Back to what I said before, you are not in control. Hello? And we don't like that. Christians are having to deal with who's on the throne. And it's not us. It's him. Well, Lord, I don't like it. I don't like it. When God made the worm to eat up the plant that he made to shield Jonah from the heat, you remember when Jonah wanted God to destroy the Ninevites. God wanted to have mercy on the Ninevites. When God didn't do what Jonah wanted him to do, Jonah got mad. But when God grew the plant up over Jonah's head to keep him out of the sun, gave him shade, Jonah was like, oh, glory, hallelujah. What a lemonade. He's like, oh, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. I'm feeling good. Then God made a worm to eat up the plant that he made. And then Jonah got mad again. And this is what God said to him. He says, are you doing well for being angry about the plant? In other words, Jonah was mad because God made the worm to eat up the plant. But he was okay when the plant was for his purpose. And so in Jonah, we see a picture of ourselves that when God doesn't do it the way we want to do it, we get upset. I'm learning something. Are you? I walk with God. He's king. He's king. If he allows something into my life, I'm not ever going to get mad with you because you're the only one delivering me from what I'm going through. But I'm going to seek your face and allow your grace and strength to bring me through this. So this pastor called down curses on these people. And then to top it off, when the news media came and asked him, sir, why are you calling down? Do you believe this right? He said, I wasn't cursing people. I was cursing the demons that they believe in. He said, and then he turned around and said it again. He said, but if they don't repent, those curses are going to come on those people. I was like, dude, you just said that you weren't cursing the people, but then you said, no, it's going to come. Like, no. And this man has a sizable church. Speaking what is good, what's useful, what's helpful. This pastor, he just wasn't there. It doesn't matter who won the election. Some people say, well, yes, it does. It does. Yeah, well, take it up with the Lord. Take it up with God. Here's what matters. God's still on the throne. Daniel says he sets over it. He sets over the kingdom of men. He sets over whomever he wills. And like I was telling somebody the other day, you know, when God does something, he never asks your permission. He never asks your permission. Guess what? It's coming. Deal with it. It's coming. What matters most is this. No matter who's in the White House, who wins the election, does the witness of Christ in your life remain the same? Does the witness of Jesus, Does your reliance and your trust in him remain the same? That's what matters. We need to show that Christ is in the office of our hearts. It don't matter who's in the office of the White House, but Christ is going to be sitting as Lord in the office of our hearts. Jesus said in Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you. Let me warn you with this, that you can't do this without him. You cannot. Bless those who curse you. You ever been cursed? Ever had someone curse you? Bless them. Is what Jesus said. Talking about speaking what is good. And Jesus said to bless in the midst of the hardest time to do so. Bless means to speak well of, to thank or invoke a benediction, to wish someone well. Hello? To wish someone well. Paul in Romans 12:14 says the same thing. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And I don't know if you have been persecuted, but to do that, you need God. And I close with our greatest example, Jesus Christ. You remember with us, they crucified him. They took his garments, sold parts, cast lots for them. They put the crown of thorns on his head, nailed him to a tree. In Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes you have people in your family, people close to you. Could be a neighbor. Could be a friend, a brother, sister in Christ. They say something to you that hurts you, that pierces you to your core. And what is our response to be? Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Listen, leave the response to God. Leave the response to the God in you. Hello, because he does have a response. And God is merciful. God's mercy goes far beyond what man could ever imagine. Amen. So, when we speak, may we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, prompting us to speak what is good in every situation. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of Scripture. We thank you for the Spirit of truth who lives within us. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us, O God, agreeing with the word, for the Spirit and the word agree in one and is bringing to pass, conforming us and transforming us into your image and likeness as we die daily to ourself and to the desires of our own flesh, O God, and as we walk in the newness of a resurrected life, newness of the resurrected Christ in us, O God, we submit and humble ourselves, O God, to the work of your Spirit and the work of your word as it cleanses us, as it reforms us, as it shapes us, O God, into your image and likeness. Have your way. Lord, when the music isn't playing and when we're not caught up, when our hands are not raised, but when we're there in worship, O God, serving you every day, Lord, in the ups and the downs and the trials, I thank you, O God, that your Holy Spirit is with us, shaping us, conforming us into your image and your likeness. Help us to speak what is good and what honors you in all things we ask. In Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.